Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend our Catholic faith. On Fridays, we get to have fun. So I'm really excited to record this episode, though I do notice I hear some thunder rumbling in the distance a little bit. We got a storm coming in today as I'm recording. I'm actually enjoying that, living here in the Midwest. When we lived in California, you don't have a lot of weather variation there. It's, you know, just always sunny, or you get May gray or June gloom, a lot of the marine layer and clouds in the early part of summer. So if you want to enjoy California weather, I always felt bad for people who wanted to go see the sunshine and they would show up in June, because you go to the beach and it's usually covered in clouds, like a really thick fog. If you really want to enjoy Southern California, San Diego, for someone who lived there for several years, both of my family and then growing up there till I was about 10, 11 years old, go in September, late August, September. You go after Labor Day. It's, you know, more of the off season, and the weather's great because the Pacific Ocean is cold. It's cold to swim around, and gives you a little shock to the system. But to get back off of that tangent, you know, there would be storms here or there, but not too many. I loved, though, having a car parked up on a bluff overlooking the ocean, a stable bluff, and watching, you know, the waves get choppy and the storms rolling in. But we would get storms every now and then. Here in the Midwest, they're a lot more frequent and way more powerful. So we have our little plan in place if there's a tornado or something like that. Maybe I'll go over that for a future Free for All Friday. So hopefully the weather will not interrupt the recording that I'm doing now. But on to the topic of today's show, and that'd be mascots. So specifically corporate mascots and mascots related to food products, commercials that you see on television. I was kind of raised by TV as a kid. Now, my parents, I think, did a stupendous job with my education. They tried to enroll me into Catholic school, but the nuns wouldn't have me because my mom didn't go to mass. You know, how am I supposed to grow up to be a good Catholic, right? Well, I showed them. but they got me a tutor at Sylvan. They always really cared a lot about education. So they got me, you know, a tutor when I was little, helped me to deal with speech issues. I actually didn't talk until I was about 5 years old, like four or five. I didn't speak before that point. All I did was I was just absorbing information. I just wanted to soak in information. And now, you know, I speak for a living, I guess. I do a podcast. So if you have a child who might be a little bit more of a late talker, don't fear. I mean, obviously, there are developmental milestones every kid needs to hit. And if they don't, you want to talk to a pediatrician or a speech therapist or someone like that. But nothing to be cause for concern about. So I had that. But also, I grew up a lot just watching television. I remember, you know, we had our little rabbit ears. So we didn't have cable, but, you know, we had rabbit ear antenna. And so I would listen, you know, try to tune it to get Saturday morning cartoons. We had some things we watched on Betamax. To anyone watching or listening, you'll know what generation you're from. Do you remember Betamax? My family was the last one to get VHS. We were the last people to get internet, the last people to get a computer. But we eventually did get it. When I was in junior high, actually, I wrote my research papers, you know, my essays and papers for junior high. I did it on a word processor, went down to Radio Shack. I think we got it for about $200. And it was basically a typewriter with a yellow and black monitor. And that was it. And that's what I used. And I would write out stuff, hit print, and the typewriter would type everything out. So I was raised on a lot of television. And so I was doing research for this episode. I'm like, oh, I remember that commercial. Oh, I remember that guy. So maybe you'll feel that way too. So let's jump right into our discussion of secret history of corporate mascots, specifically food, entertainment products, things like that. One of the oldest ones, I think the oldest one, is the guy from Quaker Oats. So we eat a lot of oatmeal in this house. I don't, because oatmeal just seems like a mushy, not great breakfast food. Maybe you like oatmeal. I'm willing to tolerate it if it's covered in brown sugar and blueberries and all other good stuff. But I never got into it. But some people, they love oatmeal and they love Quaker Oats. So the Quaker Oats logo is, as you would expect, it is a Quaker, the guy with the black hat and the long white hair, poofy, you know, smiling at you, the nice little Quaker guy. The logo started in 1877, and the first one actually depicted, it wasn't the guy's head, it was just a guy in a full Quaker outfit. Quaker, of course, refers to a Protestant denomination called the Society of Friends. So they're a Protestant denomination. Oh, sorry, I'll have to add a jump cut in here because my four-year-old came in asking me to put on his Batman costume, and I'm happy to oblige. Sometimes my kids will say, can I just wear my costume when we go to the store? And sometimes they'll say, yeah, sure, why not? Be true to yourself, you know? So the Quakers were known for their pacifism. And so they didn't believe in fighting in wars. They were against using violence to solve any kind of a problem, really. And so because of their pacifism and their service to the community, it garnered for them a very wholesome image. And so in the late 19th century, you know, 1877, 1880s, the image of the Quaker was adapted for the Quaker Oats Company. So the company itself is not affiliated with the Quakers or the Society of Friends, as they're called. But and so because of that, sometimes Quaker Oats will do things that Quakers don't prefer. So sometimes Quaker Oats will be, there's a little bit of thunder and lightning right there. I don't know if you heard that. Sometimes they'll have tie-ins to like things like Power Rangers or toys that advocate violence. And so the Quakers are not happy about that. In 2012, the mascot was redesigned slightly. The firm, they hired Hornell Anderson to give the Quaker man a slimmer, somewhat younger look. The man who is now on the Quaker Oats cans is now sometimes referred to as Larry by insiders at Quaker Oats. Interesting fact, Quaker Oats also several many years ago purchased and acquired Aunt Jemima, which is another famous mascot. Ever since the summer of racial reckoning in 2020, however, the Aunt Jemima mascot has been retired because it was first utilized in the late 19th century. So in 1888, Chris Rutt and Charles Underwood, they purchased a flour mill. And so they had a lot of flour they wanted to unload, and the flour market was pretty competitive. So they turned their flour into a self-rising pancake flour mix. Even there, they had a lot of stiff competition. So to differentiate their self-rising pancake flour from all the other pancakes out of the market, they adapted the Aunt Jemima character that they saw in an advertisement. It was a poster at a vaudeville house in St. Joseph, Missouri, actually. So the Aunt Jemima character originally was something called a mammy stereotype. This would be a stereotype of an African-American woman who was a slave on the plantation. She'd be referred to as Aunt. She wouldn't be allowed to be called Ms. or Mrs. Those titles are only allowed for white people. So she would be Aunt, and then a man would be called Uncle. So I am surprised. I don't know if Uncle Ben has the same ties back to the plantation, like Uncle Ben's rice, as Aunt Jemima Pancakes does. But, we'll see what happens with Uncle Ben here in the future. So eventually now the Aunt Jemima mascot has been retired because its roots going back even prior before Aunt Jemima Pancake Mix, the character could be seen on posters advertising cakewalks. So a cakewalk was a kind of dance that was done in the 19th century where a male and female partner would dance around in a square with elaborate moves synchronized together and making sure their turns on the corners of the squares are really tight. And it was believed that the cakewalk goes all the way back to plantations where slaves would dance for cakes as a prize, and the masters of the plantation were entertained by their dancing. One theory is that the cakewalk done on the plantation was actually a way for the slaves to make fun of how their white masters would dance at antebellum balls. And so the white masters would go and watch the slaves dance and think that it was funny, but the slaves were actually making fun of how they actually couldn't dance or how their dancing was so strange and bizarre. I remember actually in the fourth grade doing a cakewalk. By the way, the phrase, it's a cakewalk, may go back to the idea of the cakewalk looking, you know, very intricate and the dance is done in a stylized way, but performed with a certain amount of grace to make it look like the moves are done flawlessly or easily. Hence, we get the term, it was a cakewalk, to describe doing a process that was that's very easy. And actually, why don't we go forward to another canceled mascot, and that would be Aaron Esurance. Well, actually, many of the mascots we'll talk about here have been canceled. So Esurance is the website you would go to get insurance quotes. They had this mascot Erin Esurance. She had a black leather suit. She was a spy. She had pink hair. She would do Mission Impossible stuff. And so the commercials with her, they're actually inspired by Sidney Bristow, from the character from the show Alias. The character and campaign were initially well-received, leading to over 30 separate advertisements featuring Erin that increased brand awareness. However, by 2009, industry polling on corporate mascots found Erin had become unpopular with viewers. 30% of viewers found the character annoying, double the industry average. Here's the real kicker. Erin was less popular than Microsoft's notorious Clippit character. You remember Clippy? We'll talk about him here shortly. Additionally, and here's the sad part. This is why when you have the internet, you can't have nice things. Like, internet, this is why we can't have nice things. The reason that Erin Esurance was retired, I'll read it to you right here. A large number of pornographic images featuring Erin were created and in some cases sold by fans of the character. The illustrations became so prevalent that when the character was searched for by name without content filters enabled, the vast majority of the results were pornographic. So the character was retired by 2010. So that would just be sad. You're just a marketing guy, like, hey, this will be a really cool character. I hope people like this character I drew. And you go on the internet, it's like, oh my goodness, what is my character doing? What have you done? I mean, why would you do this to my character? Are you going to do this to Clippy? You know, you're even more less popular than Clippy. Speaking of which, let's talk about Clippy. You remember using your Microsoft Word CD-ROM download onto your Mac back in, let's say, or even go back further, 1997. You powered up Microsoft Word, and you had to do a research paper, so you pulled up Encarta, the Microsoft Encyclopedia. That must have been really boring for teachers back in the day when they would ask us, like in 1995 or 1997, I need you to write a research, you know, write a 5-page paper. And none of us, especially like back in 95, you know, so that would be when I was about 10 years old. Now you wrote like a few essays, short essays, I think. Maybe I'm having a confabulation. I'm not remembering that properly. I remember writing some stuff and going, not on the internet, but I would bring up a computer and all I could look through was the Microsoft Encarta disk, you know, the virtual encyclopedia, or my parents had the 27-volume set of Funkin' Wagnalls encyclopedia. I remember growing up, I must have been 7 or 8 years old, and I would always look at this encyclopedia, and I thought, wow, the knowledge of the world, and I thought it fit, like, on this one bookcase, right? But, you know, I was 7 years old, and I'm thinking, wow, this is the knowledge of the world. I should spend my time reading through this. Yeah, that was seven-year-old me. It's surprising. you know, that's something even as a young kid, I always wanted to, I just wanted to learn about the world. I thought the world was a weird, interesting place, and I wanted to learn as much as I could about it, and I'm still doing that now. So back to Microsoft then. When you would write papers or do any projects, they had a program on there called the Office Assistant. So what it says here is the Office Assistant is a discontinued intelligent user interface for Microsoft Office that assisted users by way of an interactive animated character. So the idea is if you're doing something, the Office Assistant would pop up and say, hey, it looks like you're writing a letter. Hey, it looks like you're writing a resume. Did you get fired trying to find a new job? Maybe I can be of help. And there were different characters you could download to be the Office Assistant, but the default one was a paperclip with two eyes that would just kind of look at you and his eyebrows would go up and down. And people called him Clippit or Clippy for short. And he was just annoying as can be. So the original Clippit in Office 97 was given a new look in Office 2000. The feature drew a strongly negative response from many users. Microsoft turned off the feature by default in Office XP. Remember XP? I remember XP. Acknowledging its unpopularity in an ad campaign spoofing Clippit. The feature was removed altogether in Office 2007 and 2008 as it continued to draw criticism even from Microsoft employees. Like, as a user interface, it was just awful because you'd be trying to do something and it'd be like if you have a well-meaning relative or a spouse or a child and you're trying to write and you're right in the groove and then someone comes behind you, hey, what are you doing? You want some help with that? What are you doing right there? And just interrupts your train of thought, and that is what Clippy did. So, Clippy, I do not feel bad that you are retired. I do not miss Clippy. The next two mascots, I actually do miss a little bit. So, the next one is Mavis Beacon. Mavis Beacon teaches typing. I remember trying to learn typing when I was in elementary school, I still cannot type. I still cannot do 10-finger typing where you use all 10 of your fingers on the keys. I've never learned it. I'm not going to learn it. 10-finger typing is like the metric system. You can only make me learn that over my dead body. I have written 9 books, countless articles and courses and other things like that using these 2 fingers alone. I only need these 2 fingers. I don't need anything else. Thank you very much. But I did try. When I was 10 years old, I tried, and we had little typing tutorials. My mom bought me a typing machine. It was an orange machine, gray keys. And it was, you know, it was just, you know, fit right in my on my lap. And it would, like, print out a string of characters, say, type these characters, and gave you little practice exercises. Well, Mavis Beacon was probably one of the most famous people on a software mascot to teach people typing. The program Mavis Beacon teaches typing, I think it's over 6 million people have used it. And I'll tell you one thing when it comes to false memories. When I was researching for this episode, I thought it was Mavis Bacon. Like, for the longest time, I was like, no, it's Mavis Bacon teaches typing. But no, it was Mavis Beacon. And then the woman on it, her name's not even Mavis Beacon. She's not a typing instructor at all. My childhood has been shattered. So what happened was that the woman on the Mavis Beacon box was a model who, she was from Haiti. Her name was Renee L'Esperance, who was working behind the perfume counter at Saks Fifth Avenue in Beverly Hills. And so the guys who were coming up with the software met her and said, do you want to be the woman on the cover of our typing tutorial? And so they gave her a name. You know, they didn't use her real name. They just called her Mavis Beacon. It says that Mavis comes from a combination of Mavis Staples, who was a software developer's favorite singer, the singer Mavis Staples, and Beacon, which was her role as a guide to typing. Like, a beacon leads you somewhere. Mavis Beacon leads you to good typing. Here's something interesting. Mavis Beacon was one of the first black women who were promoted as a mascot for tech software or software. And so some stores didn't want to carry her for fear that she'd be very unpopular, but she actually exploded in popularity. And that kind of shocked me that there were stores that didn't want to carry her because she was a black woman. And that was in the late 1980s. We're not talking about like the 50s or the 60s here. So that was surprising to learn about. So thank you, Mavis Beacon. Although it says here that a lot of people did think Mavis Beacon was a real person. Now, a lot of people report having memories of watching her in interviews or seeing Mavis Beacon winning typing contests, which never actually happened. So that's one that I missed from the 80s. Another one I missed from the 80s is Mac Tonight. I covered this in another Free For All Friday not too long ago and shared these are things that I missed from the 1980s. So Mac Tonight was the McDonald's mascot. And for me, I think he is my favorite fast food mascot. Because if you think to yourself, all right, we need a fast food mascot at McDonald's, what should it be? I get Ronald McDonald. It rhymes. He's a clown. It's a colorful, silly place. There's a play place. There used to be a play place. I miss the play places. I mean, when I was a kid, you were so jazzed. It's like the ball pit. Awesome. Although now as an adult, I'm like, oh, thank goodness, no ball pits. Who knows what disease and filth lie in there, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. The McDonald's play place, no greater hive of scum and disease and villainy than in a McDonald's play place. So what should the mascot be? So in the late 80s, one of the marketers at McDonald's came up with Mac Tonight. Mac Tonight was just a guy with a crescent-shaped moon as a head, wearing sunglasses at night. You know, I wear my sunglasses at night. Although he didn't play 80s tunes. He played at least not popular 80s tunes. He played a riff of the song Mac the Knife. So that older song, Mac the Knife, he would do Mac Tonight. Da, 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 da. And especially if you watched it late at night, like at 10:30, and you're in a real kind of like not trippy mood, but just kind of a lackadaisical mood, like you could laugh at almost anything because it's 10:30 and dinner's wearing off. So you need just a tiny little snack at 10:30. And you see this moon-headed man playing on the piano talking about Mac Tonight, McDonald's Tonight. Maybe I could get a double cheeseburger tonight. You want to know what is just the temptation I cannot resist right now with McDonald's? The quick break menu. A few months ago, they were doing a double cheeseburger and small fry for $2.50. I'm only a man. I can't say no to that. They raised the price to $3. and I'm still giving into it. And so we'll see how long I live with those deals. It's like, I don't want to lose money. $2.50 for a double cheeseburger and small fries. So Mac was performed by Doug Jones and voiced by Roger Bear. And it was originally just for Southern California restaurants and markets, but it ended up being promoted in a nationwide commercial campaign in 1987. McDonald's stopped airing the commercials and retired Mac Tonight in 1989 because of a lawsuit brought by Bobby Darin's estate. So Bobby Darin did the original song Mac the Knife, and they said Mac Tonight was too similar, and so they retired the character. I'm like, come on, you have to do that to us? All right, here's the next one. I got three more mascots here. Three more to go through. Next one. I'll just say this. The Cookie Crisp cereal, right? When I was a kid, when you're 8 years old and you go through the supermarket, you're sitting in the carts, watch this next time you go to a supermarket. Look in the cereal line. The characters are looking down. Even here on the Cookie Crisp boxes, the characters are looking down. One theory for that is they're looking down because children are riding in the carts, and so then they're looking down at the kids, and it gets the kids' attention. That's one theory why cereal mascots on the boxes are looking down rather than straight at you, because they're looking at the kid in the cart, not at the adult who's walking by. They want to get the kid's attention, so the kid is like, I want my Cookie Crisps! I want them! Gimme! And then it's like, you know, then these guys are like, I don't want to make a scene in the store. Fine, here's your Cookie Crisps. Although I think that theory, I don't know if that totally holds water. I think a lot of times the mascot looks down because they're in the box and the cereal is in front of them on the box. So they're looking down at the cereal that they are enjoying. So I don't know. It could be both. My question for you is this. Cookie Crisp cereal. And of course, when I was a kid, I'm like, can we have Cookie Crisp cereal? Can I have cookies as cereal? Why not just go to the bakery, buy a dozen cookies, tear them up and give them to a kid? What is the real difference if that is what you're going to get your kid? And of course, my parents always said no. We would get Raisin Bran and Cheerios. Cheerios were awesome, but we would always get Raisin Bran, and we would end up picking the raisins out of the box. And then my dad, you know, you'd pour Raisin Bran. He's like, you ate all the raisins! And like, we have a can of raisins over here if you just want raisins. To which I would say, no. The raisins in the can are never as good as the raisins in Raisin Bran. The raisins in Raisin Bran have just that little bit of sugar and other things on them. It's like the M&Ms in Trail Mix. I don't know if they've created this yet, but I hope they have. I mean, they should make this. I would call it Trail Mix M&Ms. So it's just a bag of M&Ms that are taken from the Trail Mix bag, put in their own bag. Because the Trail Mix M&Ms have the salt from the nuts on them. So you get salt and sweet mixed together. So somebody call them an M&M, make the Trail Mix M&Ms, and I want 1% off of that. So Cookie Crisp, the mascot for the Cookie Crisp is interesting. It really tells you what kind of age you are growing up with cereal. I would say, who was the mascot for Cookie Crisp cereal? When I was a kid, it was a thief. It was the Cookie Crisp crook. And there was a cop that was always chasing after him, and he had a dog that would help him, and they were trying to steal the Cookie Crisps. Everyone's trying to steal it. It's like Lucky Charms. Everyone's trying to steal this cereal. Is it that good, really? Do we really need to be stealing it? But when I was a kid, that was who the Cookie Crisp mascot was. It was a cop. It was a dog that helped a thief, and they were trying to steal the Cookie Crisp. If you were older than me, so if you're like Gen X or Baby Boomer, in 1977, when Cookie Crisp was released, it was a wizard. It was a wizard named Cookie Jarvis. That's what you're going to name your wizard? Like, not even Cookie Merlin? It's Cookie Jarvis. And there's an episode of Community, actually. And that's the show with Joel McHale and Chevy Chase. My wife and I were watching it recently. Maybe that's what got me to thinking about cereal mascots, where they dress up Chevy Chase like the Cookie Crisp wizard, Cookie Jarvis. And then one of the other characters says, I don't even understand the joke we're doing. When I was a kid, Cookie Crisp, he was a thief. He was a dog and a guy trying to steal it. Nowadays, since 2005, Cookie Crisp has been redone again. So it's not the dog, the thief, and the cop. It is a wolf. It's a wolf who is trying to get the cookies. The Cookie Crisp, his name is Chip the Wolf. Over time, these cereal companies are really phoning it in, I feel like. But moving from that, let's go to the alcoholic beverage industry. And when you think of mascots for alcoholic beverages, Most famous ones that come to my mind are Captain Morgan. So for spiced rum. So when I go out and I have to be like an adult, people are like, oh, you want a drink? And I'm at a bar, not a bar. I don't go to a dive bar or anything like that. But sometimes I'll go to conferences and afterwards all the speakers will go out and we'll be at the top of the hotel and the nice hotel bar. And they're like, Trent, do you want a drink? And what am I supposed to be like? I'd like a chocolate shake, please. You know, I already look young enough as is. So, but I don't like alcohol very much. So the standard drink I'll usually get is a rum and Coke because I love soda, but you can't just have soda because people either think you're a kid or an alcoholic. And so I'll say, oh, you know, I'll get a rum and Coke. You know, I get Captain Morgan spiced rum. It's nice and smooth, not overwhelming, not super, not sour or too bitter like a, you know, whiskeys or other things like that. But so there's Captain Morgan, but the mascot for the spirits industry I wanted to focus in on was the most interesting man in the world. Tell me you remember those commercials. I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis. So this actor was played by Jonathan Goldsmith, and Dos Equis hired him for the role of the most interesting man in the world. The idea is the commercial shows him when he's younger and he's doing all this like crazy stuff, winning an, I don't know, an arm wrestling match against a bear or like, you know, bench pressing two women sitting in chairs. And then it flash forward to him today and he's in a bar and he's surrounded by beautiful women and he's older, looks to the camera. I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis. And then they'd have the ad and then at the end he would say, stay thirsty, my friends. So Jonathan Goldsmith got the part. And it says that Goldsmith began his audition. He was told to improvise. And that's how I arm wrestled Fidel Castro, finished the sentence. Goldsmith began his audition by removing one sock and then improvised for 30 minutes before reaching the concluding line of the commercial. The character was inspired by his deceased sailing partner and friend, Fernando Lamas. In March 2016, Dos Equis announced Goldsmith's retirement from the role with a commercial sending him on a one-way journey to Mars and the narration, his only regret is not knowing what regret feels like. And the narrator was the guy who does PBS Frontline, which is a really cool series of documentaries you'll have to check out if you haven't done that yet. He was replaced by Augustin Legrand, who himself, the whole campaign ended in 2018. And Dos Equis was replaced, the most interesting man in the world, with Keep It Interessante. Really? I mean, you have the most interesting man in the world. I don't know how you follow it up after that. Now it's time for our last mascot. Creeper warning, if you get creeped out easily, check away now. This mascot has inspired terror in some people. And that would be the Burger King King. What's fascinating about the Burger King King, I mean, you got Ronald McDonald. Ronald McDonald has been pretty similar throughout the years. I remember growing up, I had so many McDonald's Happy Meal toys, like Grimaces and Hamburglars. And I like that crew, but the Burger King King, he needs no supporting cast. He is the king. It is good to be king. But he's changed a lot over the years. When you go back in 1955 to the very first Burger King that was put up in the Burger King restaurant in Miami, Florida, he kind of looks like the Quaker Oats guy who is dressing up as a king for some kind of bargain basement Renaissance festival. So it just looks like the Quaker Oats guy wearing a crown and he's holding like a giant cup and sitting on a burger. Then you go forward in the 1970s, they change it from that to the Burger King that looks like the Burger King today, where he's dressed in like red Tudor, T-U-D-O-R, like Tudor-like robes. He's got the big beard. You know, so the idea of the king, it's not, you know, so much cartoony. It's like regal, late medieval type king. Then when you go forward again into like the 1990s, they kind of go back to the more cartoony king who, you know, kind of has more of these cartoony features. He doesn't have a beard, he doesn't have a cloak, doesn't have any of that kind of stuff. But then in 2003, there was an advertising company, Crispin Porter and Boguski, CPB, who were tasked with creating an advertising campaign for Burger King. One of the employees he found a 1970s era oversized Burger King head for sale on eBay. So the Burger King today is known as the Creepy King. You know, Creepy King, Creepy Burger. He's a guy in a king outfit, but he's got that weird Burger King mask on him that doesn't show any emotions. So it's really terrifying. Well, that's because the mask was something that was created back in the 1970s for people to wear, and the marketing guy found one of them on eBay from the original 1970s promotional materials. and then rehabilitated it to use for these spots, and then it got a lot of attention. They retired the Burger King King briefly in 2011 because they said that their demographics among women and children were suffering because women and children were scared of the Burger King King. If you watch some of the early commercials, it's creepy. He just like kind of shows up and he doesn't say anything. Then he just hands you a Whopper. And it's like, okay, all right, Burger King man. That's one restaurant I haven't eaten at in a while. When I was a kid, I would eat all the time at Taco Bell with friends. I had an iron stomach. I used to get, my friends dared me once to eat 10 cheesy Fiesta potatoes. Does Taco Bell still have that? It has these potatoes with sour cream and chives and cheese, a little styrofoam cup. And they dared me to eat a whole tray of them. And I think a tray of them was 12 cheesy Fiesta potatoes. And I did it. This is part of my crew. We were in the drama club. We were doing plays and theatrical productions. And then after our rehearsals, we'd always walk down the street to Taco Bell. One of my friends would order. And the guy behind the counter said to my friend, I'll call him Steve, the usual Steve, because we were going there eating so much. So I would go there, and I would go to Burger King, because you could get a double cheeseburger for like a dollar. And I'm like, when you're a 17-year-old kid, iron stomach, that's great. Nowadays, I don't even know if you could pay me $1 million to eat at Burger King. This video is sponsored by Burger King. This podcast is sponsored by Subway, where every sandwich tastes the same. So, haven't been in a long time. So they retired the character in 2011 because it was kind of creeping people out. Then in 2015, the character made a return at a Floyd Mayweather boxing match, I believe, and returned to much acclaim. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, as they say. And so the Burger King returned, and the King has remained ever since. So, hey, had a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed that tour of mascots. If you have a favorite mascot, especially one that wasn't included in today's episode, leave it in a comment section below at the Council of Trent YouTube page. If you're going to the YouTube page, be sure to hit subscribe and check out all of our great content coming up there. We got more episodes, more rebuttal videos on their way. Lots of great stuff there that I hope that you'll enjoy. Also, be sure to leave a review at iTunes or Google Play. It's always nice to be able to see that. And if you like these videos, like these podcast episodes, want to see more of them, be sure to go to trenthornpodcast.com to support what we're doing. So thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit trenthornpodcast.com.